All right, here we go. Here we go. Last time we got together, we was in Deuteronomy chapter 30. And guess what? We're getting close. We about to put this in the barn. We're gonna put a cap on it and say, man, we learned something in Deuteronomy, and then we're going to go to the next thing. But let's go ahead and throw that on the screen and go over some of this information, see if we get some fresh revelation from the Lord. So it came to pass... It shall come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse. Again, I love that, the blessing and the curse. God always gives you the blessing. He wants to bless you first, which I have set before thee. And thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee. Again, it is always important to keep the things of God before you, not just all the blessings. That's why you get in trouble. If all you do is just talk about prosperity and the blessings, and you never have a mindset of, hey, if I do wrong, I'm going to offend God. And if I do wrong and I offend God, I got to answer for it. Yeah, I'd rather just worship him than have to continuously repent. But if you do mess up, you can repent. Verse 2. And shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shall obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, all thy heart with all thy soul. So we were talking about last time we got together that God already knew they were going to mess up. Amen. See, God already knows you are going to mess up, as perfect as you all are. I know, as perfect as I am, God knows we're going to mess up. So he sent us an advocate. Didn't he sent us a high priest who understands the infirmities of our flesh, who can mediate for us. I'm glad for that. I'm glad that, you know, Jesus went through what he went through on the earth, the flesh, the suffering, all the things of life, and so that he could understand and apply grace and mercy to you and me. And I'm very grateful for that. So he understands us. So God understood. He knew what was going to happen. That then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity. That's what he wants to do right there. And have compassion upon thee, and return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God has scattered thee. That is just a great example of grace found in the Old Testament. In case you don't recognize that, that's great grace right there. He wants to do that. And you know what? That's why you and I, no matter how wicked our nation gets, how bad people get, we have to remember this. Now, he's not going to turn the nation and make us this great nation that the mantra and propaganda tells you. But he wants to do this for folks. He wants to turn their captivity. He doesn't want the drug addict, in the situation they're in, and on it goes. So next verse. And if any of thine be driven out unto the uttermost parts of heaven, for thence the Lord thy God will gather thee, and from thence he will fetch thee. There it is again, gather and fetch. I'm so glad he went after me. Aren't you glad? I mean, all your free. I told you before, I mean, a lot of people, I know when I got saved and then people found out I was a preacher or whatever, they're like, huh? You know what I'm talking about, huh? You're not in jail. You're not in hell. You know, you're not. And people gave up on you. How many of y'all ever have somebody give up on you? But see, God never does. He gathers and fetches you, man. He pulls you out of that miry clay. I'm so glad for that. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which the fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it. And he will do thee bad. No, he's going to do you good. And multiply thee above thy fathers. Well, that's just for Israel. No, that's for all of us, man. All right, let's go. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. Who can do that? The Holy Ghost does that. Only he can do that. All right. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies and on them that hate thee, which persecute thee. So you imagine all the demons walking around with all kinds of curses all over them. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord and all his commandments, which I command thee this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in just a few works. No, every work of thine hand, and the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy land for good. All right, move on. If thou shalt hearken unto the Lord, or to the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book. Remember the word if there. Just circle that, underline that if. You got to do what he says, and the statutes which are written in this book. So he says, you got to do it with all your heart. All right? Let's move. For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from me, neither is it afar off. So the next couple of verses, we know what it talks about. Sorry, I have my back to you. These next couple of verses, we know it's talking about the Lord Jesus, that he's nigh unto us. Isn't that great? I mean, all you have to do is speak his name and he's there. He's a friend that sits closer than any brother. I mean, before you can articulate the words out of your mouth and formulate it in your thought process in your suke, he's already there. Isn't that awesome? Amen. That's why, you know, God wants us to speak things because he already knows the desires of our heart because he gave it to us. But it doesn't come to pass until you release it. And that's a whole other teaching on words and faith for another time. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God. Here you go. So here's a little template. Love the Lord, walk in his ways, keep his commandments and his statutes and judgment. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to live and multiply, and the Lord shall bless you. That sounds pretty easy to me. And if you want to look at the opposite of that, just do the opposite and see what the Lord will do. Your life becomes a curse. Your life becomes messed up. You're broke. You're busted. You're disgusted. You're depressed. Blah, blah, blah. On and on it goes. It's very easy to understand. All right. But if thine heart turn away, here he goes, so that thou shalt will not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. Get ready. I denounce unto you this day, or I announce unto you this day, that you shall surely perish. No, I'm going to live. No. Me and God have a special relationship. Okay. And you shall not prolong your days upon the earth. All right. So let's go on. Verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. Can't get no higher than that, can you, than heaven? Can't get no more real than earth, right? That I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, both thou and thy seed may live. Something I want to say there. Notice how God always includes your family. He always includes future generations. He's a dad. Think for a second about God. See, we look at God as, you know, this, I don't know, maybe people watch Star Trek too much or something, you know. Y'all remember that? The big brain or whatever. You know, it's like this power force. Yeah, okay, he is all powerful and he's light and all the things that the book of Revelation says about him. But guess what? He has a heart. He has a heart that weeps. He has a heart that cries out for folks, and he cares. He has compassion, and he wants all to be with him. Man, you know what happens when we get religious? We forget that. And then we say, no, it's just me, man. It's just me and God. Yeah. No, God wants everybody, your whole seed. He don't want nobody to die and go to hell. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him. I love that. For he is what? Your life, the length of the days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord thy God sware. There it is. There's the family right there. There's your heritage, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All right. We're going to move along. That was it. All right. So that was that one. Isn't that fun? I like going over them again, don't you? Don't you wish Wednesday night's teaching were that fast? And then you'd be done, man. 7:25, 7:30. No, I like going back over because we get fresh information. So let's go. Deuteronomy 31. 31. This is going to be fun. I like this part here. We're getting down to the end, man. And God always saves the best for last. All right, so let's begin in verse 1. And Moses went and spake there. These words, he went and spoke these words unto all of Israel, and he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. Well, happy birthday, Moses. Wow. It's not like he was telling him it was his birthday, but it wasn't. He was just saying, on this day, I'm 120 years old. Now, in your notes, you need to put, wow. That's an old dude. I mean, come on. For back then, it really wasn't that old. But for us, that's pretty old. The oldest man I've ever met, I believe he was 116, 115 years old. He was a preacher in Cuba. And I met him, and I told that man, lay your hands on me. And I bent down and I let that man pray over me. And I'm going to tell you, the anointing of God was very strong. A good friend of mine from Kentucky was there, Gerald. And I'll never forget that day. So when people say, well, old people don't have any value, there's a reason they're alive. There's a reason God kept them alive. So 120 years old. So let's look at this. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day, and I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord has said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. Now, let me explain something to you. It wasn't that he was too old. Let me try that again. It wasn't that he was too old. A lot of your churches, your denominations, when a pastor reaches 50, they're usually finished in their eyes. Usually, they're looking for a younger generation. I remember Dr. Summer on his testimony said, I won't mention the denomination, but it starts with an A and ends with a G. And they told him, they said, Summer, you're 50 and you're finished. And he wept. And he was brokenhearted because within the denominations, he had reached his plateau. And do you know from 50 to over 80-something, 84 years old, something was his greatest ministry in life? He turned his back on that denomination, or at least on those words, and he went for what God called him to do. And his best ministries began at 50. A lot of times we look at older people and say, well, what value do they have? They have tremendous value with God, tremendous wisdom. Just think about this. The anointing gets better with time. So you imagine if somebody kept straight with God and moved in the things of God, guess what? They have a tremendous anointing. The other thing about it is some people say, well, you know, only the good die young. That's not true. 120 years old? Amen. Let's look. Let me take you over there real quick. Go to Deuteronomy 34:7. I know we're going to get there, but I want to show you and prove that to you. Can you do that real quick? I know that puts you on the spot, Jen, but Deuteronomy 34:7. Watch what it says. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes was not dim, nor his natural force abated. That's King James. In other words, he was strong. He didn't die because he was old. He went home because it was time. He went home because God said, you're finished. He really went home because of his sin, of what he committed. And I'm going to show that to you in just a minute, all right? But I had to jump ahead because, again, a lot of people think, well, Moses was this old, feeble guy and he couldn't make it. No way, brother. Moses was strong. He was a strong prophet of God, a strong deliverer, okay? Numbers 20 verse 12, you don't have to go there. It's okay if you do. It's all right. But remember, God told them, told Moses, told Aaron, really to give water to the children of Israel. Are you there? Oh, that's cool. Yeah. And the Lord spake unto Moses there and says, because thou believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation to the land which I had given thee. What happened? God told them, I want you to go speak to the rock and water come out. Moses was mad about it. Moses was tired of their bickering and crying and complaining. That's 2 million people. That's a big congregation. So you know what he did? He took the Aaron's rod and he hit it twice. Boom, boom. Guess what happened? Water came out because God cared for the people. But then he dealt with the man of God. Watch out now. He'll bless the works of the man of God for the sake of the people. But then he'll deal with the man of God. If you don't believe that, you're not reading today's headlines. And so come Sunday, I'll tell you more about that. All right? So, and there's another lesson in here. The consequences of sin can linger. In other words, God forgives you, absolutely. But there's some things you must repay. There are. There's something. There's mistakes we've all made in our lives. I call them this, and I've preached this in the past. It's called raising your Ishmaels. That means you give birth to things you can't kill. Abraham wasn't allowed to kill Ishmael. He had to bless him with equal blessings of Isaac and sent him and Hagar off. But guess what? Ishmael left his home but never left his life. And some people think, well, God's going to forget about it. No, God will make you pay that price. You'll have to deal with it. Are you forgiven? Yeah. Does the blood cleanse you? Yeah. But if you did some wrong to some folk, at some point, you're going to have to face up to it. Amen. All right. So that's pretty wild, then. All right. So let's go back and let's see. Verse 3. So the Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee as the Lord has said. So hold that name Joshua. Judah's like, finally, no more Judah. You're talking about Joshua now. Remember that? He was telling me the other day, he's like, how come it's always Judah, man? Jeremiah's beating up on Judah. I'm always getting in trouble. Remember that? I'm like, hang on, man. We'll get Joshua involved here. But here's Joshua. It's not yet time, per se, for Joshua to come into power and come into position here. But he's mentioning Joshua. Why? Because God had already had his hands on Joshua. And there's another place I can take you in Deuteronomy where Joshua hung out with Moses. And I'm going to teach you something very powerful about hanging out with somebody and their anointing. Okay? And you want to write down this. Joshua's name means the Lord is salvation. The Lord is salvation. Because Moses can only take them to the entrance of the promised land. But remember, Joshua, which represents Yeshua, represents Jesus, does what? He brings them into the promised land. So names matter. Names matter, and there's a reason. There's prophetic reasons for these things. And so the Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these enemies, or these nations, from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord has said. So God was already preparing Moses for his successor. God will always prepare you for that. It's not the other way around. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did unto Sihon and to who? Og. Remember them dudes? The long neck guys? The big dudes. The kings of the Amorites and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face. I love this. Before your face. God isn't going to do things to your enemies behind your back. He's going to let you watch it. Not in the sense of vengeance. And again, when I say that, I don't mean your people that are against you. Because some of y'all just had some names and faces flash before you. Get them, God. No, we're not talking about that. He deals with the demons that are controlling those folks. That's true spiritual warfare. True spiritual warfare is to go after the demon power that's controlling these folks. Not the people. They're just puppets. They don't know what's going on usually anyways. So he's going to do this unto them. He's going to do it right in front of your face, that you may do unto them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Watch this. Verse 6. This is something you need to have written down somewhere. Be strong and of good courage. Let's look at that. Be strong and of good courage, fear not, neither be afraid of them. Why? For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee, and he will not fail thee nor forsake thee. That's a reason right there. Close the Bible, go home, and run around the house and say, woohoo, I'm going to be strong. I'm going to be of good courage. I'm not going to have any fear. Because I know that my God is with me. I know he is going to provide for me. I know that he's going to make a way for me. Now watch this. This is really cool because the word there, fail, he will not fail thee, in the Hebrew means to lose grip. He will not lose his grip. There's one thing to say, he won't fail you. No, he ain't going to lose grip. Because I don't know about you, most of my life I'm hanging over a cliff anyhow. I've usually got myself into something. I'm going, oh, I need you, Lord. How many of y'all have that happen? I mean, I got the Lord's number on speed dial. It's like, help. I'm always crying out for help. But he will not fail thee. In other words, it's kind of like the sticky hand. It will hold you. He will not lose grip. You ever heard that old song about the unchanging hand of God? I mean, he's not going to lose his strength. Think about that. You know, we lose our strength. We get older, we may lose our strength, or we're holding something heavy and we lose our grip, our hand gets sweaty, or the rope cuts into your hand, whatever. Not with God. He's got you, man. He's got you. Okay, so that means not to lose grip. And then finally it says not to forsake thee. That means he's never going to leave you. He's not going to drop me, and he's not going to leave me. That's good gospel news right there. All right, so verse 7. And Moses called unto Joshua. Now watch this progression here of the passing of the authority and the baton and the anointing and the commandments of God onto the next generation. And Moses called unto Joshua. Joshua didn't call Moses. Moses called Joshua. God calls us into our anointing. God calls us in our position wherever we are in life. Remember David? I mean, he was just hanging out. You know, just doing his thing, slingshot practice. He was playing the banjo. No, that was somebody else. He's playing the harp out there. Scott's like, I didn't see that in the Message Bible. You know what I mean? You got to look at things funny. He's out there just doing his thing, and all of a sudden, what happens? He gets called into position and into the anointing, into what God wanted him to do. So get ready for your call. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel. Notice here another part of the transition. It's done in front of everybody. All this secret stuff that goes on, secret societies and blah, 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 blah. No, it's done in front of everybody. Be strong and of good courage. You like that again? For thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord thy God hath sworn unto the fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. So can you see Joshua going, okay. what do you mean? Moses is going to go, but he doesn't get the full concept here because it's not fully announced yet, but Moses is going to die. He's gone. Though he says it, they don't understand that. And then Joshua's like, me? I could imagine being in that moment, man, where the transfer of power was coming. And this is really an epic moment here. So when we teach this and when you read it, don't overlook it. This is huge. There was no deliverer like Moses up until that time. Abraham was awesome and all that, and Abraham did what he did. But nobody took the children of Israel out of Egypt like Moses did. Nobody saw the miracles, the beginning of real miracles like Moses did. Moses was a phenomenal man of God. And so this wasn't a light thing. God was now tapping the shoulder of young Joshua. And I believe God chose Joshua because he hung around Moses, as I said earlier. He was right there near the anointing. He was always there when the door opened. He was always there to lend a hand. He was always there to be a part of what was happening with Moses. Did you know that? Absolutely. That's how the transfer of the anointing goes, and that's how authority comes to you. So watch this. It's a transfer of power. Moses has to call Joshua. So let's go to the next verse. And the Lord, he it is that that doeth go before thee. He will be with thee, and he will not let go. He will not fail thee. He's not going to lose grip. Neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Woohoo! Again, think about this, man. I mean, Joshua's like, all right, that's cool, man. I'm not doing anything else. Verse 9. And Moses wrote this law. Here's another principle about the transfer of authority. Moses wrote this law. What law? Not just the law, the Pentateuch, or the Ten Commandments. He wrote this law. In other words, what Moses said was written. Why was it written? So people wouldn't forget. And nobody could judge the authority of Joshua. In other words, they couldn't usurp his authority because it was written. You see that? When it's done properly, when God anoints us and promotes us all, and it's done the right way, then nobody can argue it. That's pretty good right there. We're going to need to remember that come November. And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priest. Notice the law went to who? The priest. Moses was the authority of it under God. He made it law. In other words, he wrote it down, and then he gave it to the priests, who are the keepers of that law, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. So all authority was aware of what was happening. That's why we have to be careful what happens in a lot of these churches. where the people usurp authority, or denominations, you know. Have you ever been in a church, a denominational church, or whatever, a structured church, you know, where they got this plan going on in the background, and next thing you know, Pastor so-and-so, he ain't there no more. Have you ever been there? I've been there. I've actually seen it happen. And you're just like, what in the world happened? And it wasn't, maybe Pastor so-and-so didn't do anything wrong. It's just the way the board felt. The money people felt, or what have you. They didn't like what was being done. They didn't like, you know, blah, 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 and all it goes. That's not the way God blesses. And those churches never get blessed. Those folks never get blessed. You only do it the way God does it. That's the only way to have authority. Amen? That's the way we do it. All right, where we go. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years in the solemnity of the year of release, or in the time of that year, that feast time, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel is to come appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all of Israel in their hearing. Why? Again, it's a reminder. It's a reminder of not only, again, the laws and the commandments of God, but how God structured things. I think we need to be reminded of the structure of God. We need to be reminded of the authority of God. If we remind ourselves of the authority of God, we respect authority. I'll try that again. If we memorize it and we rehearse it and we understand and we respect and honor it, then we end up honoring it in real time. Listen, when I talk and I use names of people that are in positions who are doing wrong, I do it because they have to be exposed, and people in the body have to know it. But I'm gonna tell you, inside I quake, because they're still God's anointed. They still have authority, and though they've forfeited it, and though they've done wrong, there's still that respect. Listen, David could have killed Saul, but he didn't. Even by cutting off a part of his clothing was huge, because it was still the king. And so we have to rehearse these things and remind ourselves. And I want to tell you something that's very interesting in history. This was to be done, right? Every 7 years during the time of what? Release, which was your time of celebration, the Feast of Tabernacles, and your Jubilee. But history tells us Joshua was the only one that read this law, this commandment that he gave, and it wasn't until Jehoshaphat became king did Israel read it again. And we wonder why Israel got in trouble. They didn't rehearse the law. Very interesting facts. Okay? So that tells us we need to rehearse it. Gather the people together, men and women and children, get them all. And thy strangers within thy gates, that they may hear, that they may learn and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law. See, this is why he wanted it to be done. He wanted everybody to know it so you don't disobey. All right? And that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as you live in the land whither you go over to possess it. That right there, my friends, is the reason for children's ministry. That right there is the reason we teach our children at home. We do the best we can for what we have. But this is why we teach them, so they don't forget it, so they teach their children. And then they teach their children's children. Listen, if we don't do that, we've lost Christianity. And we've about lost it in America. We really have, because we don't teach our children anymore. Listen, I don't blame the public schools. They're not the teacher of my children. I am. The children's ministers in this church, us as brothers and sisters, we're to train them with our lifestyle, our conversation, a smile, and our prayers. Isn't that right? Hey, the church is the world's the world. Babylon does what Babylon does. I can't get mad at them, because that's what they do. That's what they do. But my problem is with the church. The church doesn't do what they're supposed to do. And families don't raise their children anymore. And the Lord said unto Moses, behold, the days approach that thou must die. What did you say? Thanks. You know what? When I read that, you know what I love about that? That's just your father being plain. I don't know. I read things different than a lot of people. My God. Guess what, Moses? You about to kick the bucket. Amen. Got it. They know him hauling around. Yeah, he got a heads up. I mean, you know, I was Moses, I'd have been like, you got a time frame on that? I'd like to, few things I need to do before you rip me out of here. No, I said, behold, the days approach that you must die. Okay, what does that mean? So a little vague there. Call Joshua. Now, you know Moses has got to love God and love Joshua. Because how many of us could do that? I'm 120 years old. I'm still strong. I still see good. Hey, I'm still tying my own shoes. Well, my sandals. I got my own sandals. I put my robe on myself. I can about do anything. I can cook an egg. You want me to go get Joshua, the young whippersnapper? Handsome boy right there? Yeah, okay. Because I'm going to die anyways. So call Joshua and present yourself in the tabernacle of the congregation that I may give him a charge. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves into the tabernacle of the congregation. Stop right there. This is very interesting. Just something just for biblical history and knowledge so you can have it. This is the last time God spoke to Moses face to face. Never talked to him again face to face. Not like this. And it was at the changing of guards. See how important it was? See, God could have just had Moses do this, go slap some oil on him like Samuel did to David and what have you. No, God wanted to personally be there to give the charge. This was Moses' retirement party and the inauguration of Joshua. This was Moses' checkout time, and this was the time for the ordination of Joshua, and God wanted to be there. Let me tell you, that's why when you get ordained, you get hands laid on you. God better be there. And it better be God called and not from some mama or some ordination board or denomination. Go back to that because I want to see one other thing. Present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation that I may give him a charge. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves. So here it is. They presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. I can just imagine. I'm trying to speak too fast, but I want to get all this in here. I can just imagine the awesomeness of Joshua. Because now you've been called to the big room. You know what I mean? And you know what's going on by now, but it's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses, and God's going to be there? Wow. All right, go to verse 15. And the Lord appeared. Thank God. And the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of fire, and the pillar of the cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. Wow, could you imagine that? The kavod. The weighty presence of God, that's the Old Testament word for the glory of God, the kavod. It's the doxia in the New Testament. Now, when I read this, I was like, oh, that's so cool. But do you know why the glory of God was right at the door? It's because they couldn't run out. Oh, y'all catch that later. I was like, Lord, you're so hilarious. He's like, ha ha, where are you going to go? Can you imagine that? I mean, think about it. He could have went to the front part of it. He could have went to the side of it, but he went right to the front door. He's like, you ain't going anywhere. In fact, if you go anywhere, you got to go through me. Woo-wee. All right, so he peered right there. He blocked them. Joshua's freaking out. Everybody's having a good time. And the Lord said unto Moses, watch this. He's talking to Moses first. He's honoring Moses. Behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land. Whither thou go to be among them, and will forsake me, and break my covenant which I have made with them. That right there is some powerful writing and powerful understanding. That here they are in the middle of a transfer of the anointing and the authority of God. It would seem to be a happy moment. But God says, let me tell you what they're going to do. They're going to break my heart. And I know that. And this is all serious to me. Joshua and Moses, what I'm going to do for you. All right, verse 17. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day and will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them. You don't think God plays hide and seek? Yes, he does. And they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? That ought to be preached all throughout America.
Why is this always happening? It's this person's fault.
Hey, right there. The Lord has moved his hands. He's moved his face away from this nation. And this evil has come upon us. This nation has been shot out because of our sin. And I will surely hide my face in that day of all the evils which they have wrought, in that they are turned unto other gods. Pretty simple to me. Now therefore write this song for you. Y'all didn't know God was a composer. Yeah. Write this song for you and teach it to the children of Israel and put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. So what I want you to see here, this is plural. He's talking to Moses and to Joshua to write a song. Again, nobody had no idea God was a songwriter. Had no idea. Why is he doing that? Because when you sing a song, you remember it. Most of us in this room, probably watching right now, we have a hard time quoting certain scripture, but we can sing a song back in the 70s and 80s. We don't even have to hear the tune. All of a sudden, we just pick the tune up and, you know, whatever, and we're in it. Come on now, you're at the grocery store. There's a reason why they play 70s and 80s music while we're shopping. Because we got the money. They're going after us. Josh, Judah and I were talking about the other day. He's like, man, you ever notice they're always playing 80 music? I said, because of me. You know, it's our age group. They're just you know, bombarding us with subliminal messages and trying to get us to spend money. But anyways, whatever you say it, what is that in our mind? What is that? That brings us to memory. So he said, I want you to write this song. And we'll see the song here probably, I think, in the next chapter or so. For when I shall have brought them into the land which I swear unto the fathers that flow with the milk and honey, and they have eaten and filled themselves, watch this, waxen fat. We preach on that. Then will they turn to other gods. You see that? Prosperity doesn't make you go to God. No, it doesn't. Again, just look at your headlines. Prosperity does not make you go to God if you don't have the right heart. Then they will turn unto other gods and serve them and provoke me and to break my covenant. So he said, I want you to sing this song. I want to say this other thing about singing songs. That's why it's so important to teach our little ones songs. Everyone, as I mentioned earlier about, you know, we know songs from the past, but we all remember songs as children. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I mean, we could sing that. Yeah. Father Abraham had many sons. Come on. And many sons had Father Abraham. I'm his best one, his favorite one. No, that's not how it goes. But it's close enough. All right, close enough for a broken record. And it shall come to pass when many evils and troubles are befallen them, that this song shall testify against thee as a witness, for it shall not be forgotten out of the mouth of their seed. For I know their imagination which they go about, even now, before I have brought them into the land which I swear. All right. And Moses therefore wrote this song the same day and taught the children of Israel. And he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, be strong and be of good courage. About third time we saw that, right? For thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto thee, and I will be with thee. And it came to pass when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, saying, take this book of the law, and put it on the side or inside the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. God loves proof. For I know thy rebellion, thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day. This is Moses. Now, read that with me again. This is Pastor Moses For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet with you this day, you have been rebellious against the Lord, and how much more after my death? I just read that. I was like, golly, Moses. And you all get mad the way, you know, some preachers. He just laid it out, didn't he? He didn't say, bye, I love you guys. Thanks for all the great memories we had together. Hey, you bunch of stiff-necked rebels, you rebellious things, you. I know you're going to be worse when I leave. Ah. I mean, what has he got to lose? He already hit the rock twice. He's already lost his life. I mean, he could have been maybe 220 years old. I don't know. You think he might have been a little grumpy? No, I think he was a prophet. I think he was just telling it like it was. Gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears, and call heaven and earth to record against them. Golly. For he's like, bring everybody in here. Bring your mama in here. I want your mama in there. That's bad when they say, bring your mama in here. Bring your mama in here. For I know that after my death, you will utterly corrupt yourselves. Oh my God. This has gone from an ordination to a funeral. And turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song. That was a song. And that's like the song of the Fitzgerald? Evan Fitzgerald? My gosh, what was that? 3-hour-long song? 14 minutes, the longest song, I think, in history, but this one probably got it. I like what Tim Hawkins said. He said, they all got on a boat and they died. Bummer. He said, that would have ended that song. Anyways, so he spake in the ear of all the congregation the words of the song until they were ended. And that's it, isn't it? That's it. Wow, man, what a way to end a happy moment for Joshua. But all kidding aside, that's just the way God is. You know, he's very serious. He's full of blessings. He's full of love. He gives us leadway. He lets us learn. We fumble, we fall. He picks us back up. But then there's times where he puts stern structure in our life and says, hey, this is the boundaries for your life. This is what I want you to do. And if you mess up, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to pull that chain a little bit because I love you. And he says, you know, he understands our frailty and we're going to make mistakes. And I see that there with him saying these things to Israel. And again, Moses was a prophet. He prophesied. He said, you're going to do this. But the great thing was that he would go back and gather them and fetch them. And so that's the balance, I think, of the gospel that we have to have. And not only in our message and presentation to people, that's how I have to present myself in the reality of my relationship with God. I got to have a balance to understand he's an awesome God and he loves me, but he's also my father and he'll correct me. And I want to stay on the love side. Now, I want to stay on that good side and on the blessing side. How do I do that? How do you do it? Very simple. Obey. Remember the old song? Trust and obey, for there's no other way. Again, little songs like that you remember. Father, thank you for this opportunity to minister the truth of your word. Thank you for Deuteronomy and the great things we've learned thus far, the transfer of the power from Moses to Joshua and the promise of them going into the promised land with this great warrior that someday we'll read about together. But I thank you for all that you're doing. Bless all the needs, all the people of this house. Again, those that are facing this storm, unspeakable, Father, of what we'll wake up to in the next day or so down there in that region. But I just pray your grace, your mercy. I pray angels that surround about the properties of churches and believers, Father God. I pray that unbelievers would be awakened to this revelation of the hour we're living in. I pray that as they scatter into higher ground and maybe even come to Georgia or to Alabama or wherever, let there be a man or woman of God of faith that will witness to them and reach out to them and tell them there's hope in Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for your grace and mercy. Bless again the Cindy Welch family during this time of grieving. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, I love you. I'll see you Sunday.